sweet free information, because, you know, we're cool like that, and we've got the coolest people to connect you with when it comes to, well, in this case this morning, some advice on the legal front. And PSG Wealth Bolito, well, you know, they're the guys that bring you the news right here on your favorite local radio station. But we also get to chat to some of the expert minds from the PSG Wealth Bolito team and get to unpack various interesting topics. And today, I'm very happy to welcome back to the microphone Grant Clinton. He is the PSG Wealth Bolito Fiduciary Specialist. He's a CASA, a member of the Fiduciary Institute of South Africa, and he is my Monday morning guest. Grant, how are you today, my friend?
Morning, Mark. Good, thank you.
Good to have you in the house and to be giving out some free legal information. You know, people think you have to pay lots of money to get legal advice. Well, not on this radio station.
For sure.
But today we're diving into a legal term that I've been completely in the dark about. Now that I'm reading some of these notes, I'm sort of getting up to speed, but I think it's a really fascinating thing. A term called capacity in South African law, and we're going to shine a little light on this, illuminate some cases surrounding the issue, and going into some of the legal principles and observations specifically around mental capacity. And this is something that I'm guessing you encounter on a fairly regular basis in your line of work. Let's kind of start right at the beginning and define the term legal capacity. What is it?
Right, well, let's go. I think, you know, firstly, there are two components to legal capacity. Age, which, as we know, it used to be 21, the legal age to testate or to contract.
Uh-huh.
We've moved down to 18.
Yeah.
And then the second, which is the more important one, is status. Status basically refers to mental capacity.
Okay.
One can also become a major if you enter into a legal marriage or you apply to the High Court. But it's under the second component of status or mental capacity when it becomes complicated.
That's where things can get contentious.
Absolutely.
And hairy.
Mental incapacity is a question of fact that can only be determined by a court in South Africa, which leaves a large section of the population having an impaired or diminished capacity but still able to contract or testate.
Wow. Why has this term legal status become such a minefield in the modern era?
To me, there are two main reasons. The first one is people are living longer. So you're getting these age-related diseases, such as Alzheimer's and dementia.
This is just a fact of modern life.
That's what I see. But, you know, these diseases, they cause progressive deterioration to mental health, the speed of which varies from individual to individual.
Mm.
This is where the uncertainty results. And secondly, as medical science has developed and evolved, it's also become possible to establish different stages of mental capacity.
Okay, so there's sort of a sliding scale of capacity.
Correct, 100%.
Wow. And if you're taking notes this morning, let's dive a little deeper. Now that we've kind of got a rough working knowledge of what capacity is, let's look into the area of wills and how this affects the ability of an individual to testate without the risk of heirs litigating in the future, because that's really messy.
Absolutely. We're now seeing more and more court cases surrounding this issue of capacity, where expectant heirs don't inherit as they would have hoped to, and they contest the will on the grounds of capacity of the testator or testatrix at the time of the drafting of the will itself.
Eesh. Okay, so that can become a bit like a soap opera, a real nightmare situation, not the kind of thing that makes for happy families. The question to ask, I suppose, if a person has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, can he or she still draft a will?
Well, the simple answer is yes.
Really?
Yes. The courts have gone to great lengths to preserve the freedom of an individual as far as reasonably possible. But the difficult parts to establish after the fact whether the individual had the mental capacity or not at the time of the signing of the will itself.
Wow.
To establish this, there's a court case, Banks versus Goodfellow in British law, way back in 1870.
1870?
Correct.
Is that the precedent we go back to?
That's right.
Holy moly.
And basically, the testator testatrix had to have about four different facts. Firstly, did they understand the nature and the effect of the will? Did they know the extent of their property or assets? Did they comprehend and appreciate the claims which they were or ought to give effect to?
Mm-hmm.
And four, not be suffering from a disorder of the mind or insane delusion that would result in an undesirable disposition.
Those are the four conditions.
Yes. Normally, they're not evaluated in isolation. They looked at as a whole, based on each individual and particular case.
Wow.
So the conclusion then, Mike, is that testamentary capacity can only be determined on a case-by-case basis.
And by a judge or in a court of law kind of situation.
If it gets to that, yes.
Oh, man. So there's also another term that I think kind of is important in this space that we're talking about. What about the power of attorney we so often hear about? How does that apply practically?
Well, I'm glad you raised that. In law, a power of attorney is no longer valid the minute an individual is mentally incapacitated.
Really?
Incapacitated, yes. So, but since 1994, we in the industry have tried to get an enduring power of attorney drafted into law. It sat on the minister's desk. It hasn't happened. This would mean that someone who has advanced dementia, for example, would be able to have their affairs legally managed by someone else.
Wow, so there's a possibility that sometime in the future, perhaps, that legislation might get passed and maybe that'll become a thing.
We really hope so, but today, a number of people are using the power of attorney incorrectly and are acting on a document that is no longer valid.
Wow.
Despite the courts not having confirmed the mental incapacity of an individual, if that capacity is a matter of fact, such as advanced dementia, whereby the individual doesn't even know who they are, people are on dangerous ground acting on that power of attorney that was originally signed.
Sure. What I'm getting from all of this is this really just goes to emphasize that we're dealing with a highly specialized field. You really don't want to be venturing into the space without an expert hand guiding you. And luckily, you can rely on the experts at PSG Wealth. Belito, Grant Clinton, my special guest being one of them, have got the necessary skills and expertise to really be of assistance when you're trying to navigate these very complicated terrains. And Grant, where can you and the PSG Wealth Belito team be contacted?
Well, you can get us on our phone number 0860-888-810, visit our Facebook page, or come in and have a cup of coffee with us at Simbidi Office Park.
Hey, good coffee. I can vouch for that. Grant Clinton, my special guest from the PSG Wealth Belito team. He's the fiduciary specialist and clearly a man who knows his legal terms. And his mental capacity is outstanding. I
can vouch
for that. But thanks for giving us a little intro into a very complicated space. But I feel a little bit, I suppose, more empowered, having now got a little working knowledge. But I'm definitely going to be giving you a call when the time comes to delve into this stuff properly, right?
Brilliant.
You heard it here on your local station, Radio Life and Style, introducing you to only the best people.